Making education equitable for all students in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools in terms of buildings, resources, instruction, staff, and other support is not new. Officials have retooled the district's equity policy over the years, with the last update being 2010. But this time around, they are giving more attention to things like cultural inclusion in instruction, teacher performance, and especially the high concentrations of poverty in numerous schools.
Let's stop trying to wiggle our way out of what we know to be true. Socioeconomic status for our children is key to the problems that we are having in terms of equity in delivering a quality educational program for them.
School board member Ruby Jones chairs the board's policy committee, which has spent most of this year grappling with language for a new equity policy. District officials are trying to break up high concentrations of poverty in schools because they usually have fewer resources, fewer advanced placement classes, less experienced teachers, and lower test scores. The social economic status of students, SES, was one of the factors that drove the student assignment plan, which has resulted in modest reductions in concentrated poverty in schools. At a recent meeting, there was disagreement of policy committee members about whether SES should be given more weight than other factors such as student growth or test scores in making sure schools are equitable. School board member Sean Strain.
I don't understand why it's elevated above all others. I don't think the SES composition of a school means that it's high quality. When we look at schools like Geringer that achieved a gross score of 12 last year, I think that that's a high-quality school. It has nothing to do with the SES composition of the school.
While I applaud the tremendous growth scores at Geringer, they unfortunately do not offer anywhere near the range of educational opportunities offered at higher SES schools.
School Board Policy Committee Member Carol Sawyer.
You give me the SES composition of the school, and with a few rare exceptions, I can tell you the proficiency level and the educational opportunities within that school.
Geringer, by the way, is rated a C school by the state, with a majority enrollment of low-income students of color. Less than 1% are high-income. Parents have shown a strong interest in the equity policy discussions, especially since the district's Breaking the Link report came out almost a year ago that revealed wide racial and economic gaps when it came to student achievement. At last week's school board meeting, parent Justin Perry called on officials to develop a policy that closes those equity gaps.
This equity policy needs to be more than a reaction to an embarrassing report. It needs to establish a new way of doing business going forward. And once you finish a strong policy with teeth, accountability, and measurables, we then demand public engagement. I'm here demanding that you offer the same respect to parents such as myself with black and brown children that you do to suburban schools.
Parents Amy Nelson and Linda Handler have been following the equity policy discussions and complained to board members about what it does not include.
If we're talking about equity, then we need to talk about school choice, and this policy doesn't adequately do so.
Our policy focuses on the activities of all students, but all students are not receiving an inequitable education. But children living in poverty, children learning English, children of color, and children who enter school without a strong foundation, their outcomes are more of a roll of dice. Money is the biggest driver of inequity, yet it's not mentioned in this policy.
But low-income schools already get more money per student than high-income schools. They get federal Title I money that can be used for curriculum and increasing teacher pay, for example. Still, the extra help often isn't enough. Charles Jeter, the district's policy coordinator, says equity committee members are noting the disparity issues parents are raising and others.
Does every school have a media room, media resources, AV equipment, football field conditions, AP classes? Superintendent Wilcox just set a baseline that every high school is going to have at least 10 AP class offerings. What can we do about making sure that we have the best talent in all of our buildings?
Jeter says accountability will be a big part of the policy, requiring the superintendent to produce quarterly reports on whether goals set in the equity policy in various areas are being met, and if not, include recommendations for the board on ways to meet them. He says the equity policy is a complicated process and realizes parents are frustrated with the pace, but says board members
want to make sure that whatever they do is actually to improve outcomes. I know everyone wants us to move with earnest, but we're willing to take the criticism because we want it done right. I certainly understand the urgency of now, but if we didn't think it through, have we really done this community any favors by acting fast versus acting diligently?
One issue committee members are not taking up is the creation of an independent equity advisory committee. A similar panel was disbanded about 7 years ago. School board members are divided on whether such a committee is needed now, what it should do, and who should serve on it. The next policy committee meeting on equity is scheduled for February 14th. Jeter believes members will finalize a policy then that can be sent to the full school board for discussions, public hearings, and a vote. For WFAE News, I'm Gwendolyn Glenn.